you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Weather update for all of Southern Iowa is brought to you by Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center in Sheraton. Get it done quick and get it done right. We see showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon for our Tuesday. It's going to be a cloudy day, the high around 84 degrees. We see showers and thunderstorms in the evening hours on Tuesday and a slight chance of showers Wednesday morning.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country, brought to you by People's State Bank and Albia. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albia, Just Start Talking.
With me for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have in the studio Megan Black Campion. She is with me here. And Megan, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. What an honor it is for me to be able to talk to you, a phenomenal individual that's got experience in showing cattle, showing livestock, wrestling, being in the military. But we'll get all to that later on. We're going to talk, first of all, about your background. Give us a little bit of information about how you grew up, where you grew up, and what you did as a kid.
Well, I grew up in this community just north of Batavia on a farm over there. We raised cattle and showed some hogs, didn't really raise them, but we did a lot of farming and had a lot of fun over there.
You know, also baling hay as well, and that helped work you out in terms of your muscles and whatnot. Baling hay is an item that people really need to do more of, but talk about that.
Absolutely. We baled a lot of square bales. You know, round bales are they're great, but they don't get your hands strong, that's for sure, and that definitely helped me later on in wrestling. I probably started baling hay when I'd say about first or second grade, and just, you know, kept going.
Yes, it helped you out. So what about this love for wrestling? You had a love for wrestling and you became involved with wrestling. Talk about how you got involved with that.
Right. My grandpa wrestled, and then my dad and my uncle wrestled. My uncle wrestled for it's Buena Vista University, and my dad, he didn't wrestle in college too long, but I would say my passion for wrestling definitely started with them. When I was in first grade, my brother's a year younger than me, so he would have been in kindergarten. He started wrestling, and I begged my parents. I was like, let me wrestle too. And, you know, initially my mom said no, and it had nothing to do with thinking I couldn't handle it. She was pretty aware that I could handle it, but she wanted Tucker, my brother, to have his own thing. So as Tucker's older sister, I would try to take over everything. And she's like, no, you know, Tucker needs his own thing to do. And I'm pretty persistent. And after a week of practice, she was like, okay, you can do it. And never looked back.
Well, the thing about it, at that day and age, girls wrestling was something that was kind of obsolete. It wasn't happening. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of quote-unquote partners to wrestle with. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, in first grade, I don't think I really saw any girls wrestle till you'd see one or two. But when I was in middle school, I would see a couple more. But typically, my partners were just the boys, and particularly my brother. He helped me. He was my biggest fan and my worst enemy most days. We would get into some real battles. But, you know, I'm so thankful that I had him right alongside me to push me every step.
Wrestling is a different sport in terms of a lot of mental activity that needs to go on, as well as the physical activity. I think there's a deal where you had a rope in the barn there at your place that you had to climb and practice and gain strength. Talk about that.
Yeah, I did. So in sixth grade, my dad hung a rope in our barn, and we would climb it three times in the morning and three times at night. And although that was, you know, obviously for our physical strength, a big part of that is mental too. And I think that farming really gave me a lot of confidence on the mat, because anyone who's farmed long days or been out there in the cold or in the heat, like, mentally you've pushed yourself. And so a lot of that confidence I had in the mat came from knowing that I put in the work every day just working. And I was like, mentally I would tell myself, like, I'm tougher than these other kids. Like, I have to go home and work and be actually tough. Like, wrestling isn't tough, and it's hard, but like, real world stuff is tough. And so because I had kind of the confidence on the farm, I think a lot of the mental side of wrestling became easier for me.
I'm talking with Megan Black Campion. She's my guest here for Just Start Talking for this particular week. And talking about pulling yourself on a rope, there's also a story about you as a farm kid in high school. You were late to class, and consequently the teacher didn't say a whole lot when you first came in, and then eventually came around to it and said, you're a little late today, Megan. What's the deal? And you indicated that you were busy pulling a calf.
Yeah, so my dad works at, he farms, but he also works at UPS, and he wouldn't be around in the mornings because he was at UPS. So if there's anything like pulling calves that needed to be done on the farm, there was no one else around to do it. So my brother and I, we would check the cows before we went to school, and I think that day one must have needed pulled. And anyone that has pulled a calf knows, like, that smell doesn't go away right away. So I think maybe I asked Mr. Lamb if he wanted to smell my hand to prove that I had pulled the calf that morning. I was kind of, you know, a little bit silly sometimes, I think.
If you told me that, I would not question it. I would say, okay, yes, you probably did do that. All right. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about that mental aspect. I mean, it's you by yourself against another person by themselves. It's the ultimate one-on-one in terms of a sport. Talk about that mental aspect again. I mean, you really have to be prepared for your opponent and know the strategy that they might bring to you. Talk about that.
I think my mental approach to wrestling really changed over the years. When I was younger, I don't think I realized what a big part, like, the mental aspect of wrestling plays. So I would say, you know, probably 50-50. Like, physically, you have to be there, you have to be prepared, you have to be on weight. But mentally, you know, if you're not there, the physical stuff doesn't matter. And I think that really played a part later on in my season. Actually, the last time I ever wrestled was at the World Team Trials in 2021. I went all summer without being able to physically prepare, but mentally I stayed prepared, and I told myself that, you know, I was never out of it. And I ended up getting second at Senior World Team Trials, I think surely off of mental will, because physically, you know, to be at the senior level of the U.S., you know, world championship qualifier, everyone there is physically ready. I felt like I was not, because I hadn't been wrestling, but mentally I told myself I was, and it really, you know, carried me clear to the finals. So I would tell anyone who's, you know, wrestling or really competing at anything, like, your self-talk, the way you talk to yourself and believe in yourself, will take you, I don't want to say just as far as, like, your training will, but it's going to take you pretty far. So for me, it was a huge part of my wrestling.
I'm talking with Megan Black Campion. She's my guest for Just Start Talking. And let's get into that high school state wrestling tournament. You qualified for state. You were not the first female to be able to do that. But talk about that qualifying. It had to give you a sense of accomplishment.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it was my sophomore year, Cassie Herkelman and I, we both qualified the same weight, the same day, in the same bracket. And, you know, I had no idea that Cassie even existed. And then you find out that she's in your bracket and you're like, oh man, I hope, you know, like, I hope I get a wrestler, because I don't get to ever wrestle girls. So that was pretty special. And, you know, at the time, people tell you it's a big deal, but I don't know that it really set into me. I think that, you know, my goal was just to go and place at the state tournament, and that's the same as everyone else's goal. So it's taken maybe some years to look back on that and just realize, like, oh, you know, that probably did help shape the course of history and maybe open some doors and opportunities for other people. But at the time, it was just surely me wanting to wrestle and to compete, just like my brother. I know we talked about him earlier, but we both wanted to be state champions, and that was my goal. I did my best to get that. It didn't happen, but it was pretty cool.
That being said, you were a state medalist. You were able to capture the eighth place. You've got that eighth place medal, and you were the very first female in the great state of Iowa to achieve this status in the boys wrestling tournament. And you mentioned a little while ago, you're getting more appreciative of what you did. The historical significance of that was lost on you at the time, but over time you've come to realize how great it was then.
Yeah, you know, I would say even for many years afterwards, people would be like, oh, congratulations, you know, on placing at state. And it almost hurt, because although eighth place looks, you know, really good for a lot of people, I injured a folded out of that tournament, and it was always a question in my mind of, like, how high, you know, could I have made it on the podium after breaking my collarbone? I didn't get to continue to compete, and my goal was to win. So, you know, at the time, people would say, you know, congrats on your medal, and it would almost be hurtful, and that's terrible to say, but over time, I see it as an accomplishment now. At the time, it didn't feel like that.
I was going to ask you that. I wondered if, as an athlete, you ever relive those matches in your mind of how it could have turned out differently, or how you could have done differently as you go through there. Does that ever go through your head?
Absolutely. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I really like to do the best I can. And so a lot of times I go back through my matches and think, what could I have done differently to shape the outcome of that match? Even in my best matches, I don't do that just in the matches I lose. Like, to get better, you have to look at the matches that you won too, because there's always something that you can improve on. Yeah, I still go back and think about that sometimes, but more so to help other people than for myself, because my career being over, I try to find little nuggets maybe from my own career to help out the girls on the team now.
Speaking of the girls on the team, we'll get to that a little bit later on, as now girls wrestling is now sanctioned. Let's go ahead and continue your journey, though. Talk about the Fargo tournament that happens. I was unaware that this even occurred, but this is a summertime activity that is
huge. So the Fargo wrestling tournament, it goes on, oh, it's like mid-July every year. It's huge. It's the largest high school tournament in the nation, and people from all 50 states and territories come and wrestle in Fargo, North Dakota, for the Greco and Freestyle National Championships. And I started... That was my very first freestyle tournament, actually, was Fargo. So the boys have to qualify. The girls do now, but at the time, the boys had to qualify, and the girls could just go ahead and compete at the tournament. So my ninth grade year, my very first tournament was the Fargo National Championships, and I got seventh that year, and then the next year I got third. I lost to a girl who is now on the Olympic team, so that's pretty cool. One of my good friends. And then my junior year, I won Fargo, so that was kind of cool. You get a stop sign, so that was a big, it looks like a stop sign. It's a big, like, octagon-shaped plaque, and so everyone wants to take home the Fargo stop sign. And I got to do that my junior year. And then my senior year, I ended up herniating, like, three discs in my back, and I didn't get to compete. But Fargo is awesome. It's hot up there, and, you know, you're running in the parking lot trying to make weight or wrestling, and I just remember it being sweaty. And, you know, at the time, Fargo's really grown. But at the time, Fargo was kind of just a little city in the middle of nowhere. And everyone in the U.S. travels to Fargo to wrestle. And it seems kind of silly. But when everyone comes together there, it's an entire building full of just people who love wrestling. It's a huge accomplishment. Anyone that wrestles at Fargo should be, you know, proud to be there.
A bucket list for wrestling fans, I'm sure, to take a look
Absolutely,
at that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, all of your big teams, like D1 teams, are there scouting, and it's a big deal.
I'm talking with Megan Black, Campion. She's with me for my installment of Just Start Talking. You mentioned two styles. Real quick, I don't know the difference between Greco and freestyle. Talk about that real quick.
So high school wrestling is folk style. And, you know, typically, well, I'd say high school. High school and collegiate wrestling for men or boys is folk style. For girls, girls wrestle folk style in high school, and then they move to freestyle in college. But anyone who wrestles summer wrestling either wrestles Greco-Roman, which is where you can't touch the legs. You can only do throws and stuff. If you touch a leg in Greco, you get what's called a leg foul, and you give up a point. So you don't want to do that. And then in freestyle, you get a lot more turns and stuff like that. So everyone starts on their feet. You never do top-bottom. You get points for push-outs. It's a little faster pace, I would say, than folk-style wrestling. Both of those two styles are Olympic-style wrestling. So this summer, you know, as you're watching the Olympics, it may look a little different to you, and that's because it's not the same as folk-style wrestling.
Excellent way to describe it. Thank you so much. So let's bump into your college career. You continued on your wrestling. Talk about that.
I started off going to college in at King University. It's in Bristol, Tennessee, and it's about 14 hours from home. I went there my freshman year, and all my teammates over the summer that I had been wrestling with at the Olympic Training Center went there, so I was like, oh, I'll go there too. Like, these are the people I've been practicing with, and after about a year of going there, I realized that they were all graduating, and I was going to be left there, and 14 hours from home, and I just, like I said, I'm a farm kid, and I missed home. I missed being around agriculture. I used to look up like sale barns in Tennessee just to like go try to be around some cows.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's how much I missed it. And eventually, I transferred to McKendree University. And that's in Lebanon, Illinois. And if you've ever been to Lebanon, Illinois, there's a McDonald's and a Casey's and a Dollar General. And that's it. So that was a little more what I was used to. And it's about 4.5 hours from home. So I would still get to come home and watch my brother, you know, wrestle and my sister wrestle and get to farm. McKendree was great. King was too. I was an All-American there. And then went on to McKendree, and I got second there twice and third once. So
a couple. Well, the cool thing about Lebanon, it's just straight east of St. Louis on the Illinois side. It's in between two major interstates that you go through there. So it's kind of secluded, yet it's not far from everywhere, huh?
Absolutely. It was nice because I still got the cornfields and stuff. I would run on gravel roads to train for wrestling out there just to feel like home. And then later that day, jump on the train and go to a Cardinals game. So it was kind of the best of both worlds, you could say, of getting to experience a new place, but also getting that rural community that I was used to.
Women's wrestling in Iowa, in a word, has exploded. The state tournament now is sanctioned, and your involvement in the state tournament has been, you know, asked for, and you have helped out there as well. Talk about your involvement in the girls' state tournament.
Oh, I feel so, you know, blessed that they want me around, I guess. Every once in a while, they'll call and ask me to attend an event, and usually I'm there anyway because I like to just, you know, go and watch. But I'm thankful that people, you know, still want me around, and I try to help at, you know, every level I can, whether it be high school or college, and, you know, help out with, like, some kids' tournaments and stuff, too. But, yeah, mostly I go and I just kind of talk with the girls and if there's anything I can do to help them coaching wise, I typically fill in. We were talking about Fargo earlier. I still coach the Fargo girls national team, so to be able to give back to those high school girls and help them is pretty cool for me. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, if you love what you do, it's not work, so that's a great deal. Now, EBF, your alma mater, they have a girls' tournament now that is named in your honor. Most people have things named after them after they passed away, and here you are, just a young kid that has something that you can have a legacy on. You've got to have some phenomenal vibes from that. Talk about that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'm so humbled just by, you know, their willingness to, you know, keep me involved, and I guess what I started, whether it was intentional or not, I just, you know, when I was in high school, I never in a million years would have thought that I'd have a tournament, you know, named after me. I'm so grateful, and my girls, you know, I have two daughters now, Layton, she's 20 months old, and Laramie, she's 6 months old, and for them to someday, you know, possibly wrestle in that tournament is awesome. You know, that might be the highlight of my wrestling career if that ever happens, and yeah, I'm almost humbled to the point where I don't have words, I guess. It's just, it's pretty special, and yeah, I wish I had more to say on it, but I'm just speechless. I'm very, very thankful, very blessed.
Well, it's well-deserved. And, you know, the thing about the girls wrestling in Iowa, there was such a participation number, just incredible. And I put the question to the newly employed director of the Iowa Girls Athletic Union, and she said they're thinking about it. Increasing the classes. It was one huge class. I think it would benefit by having more than one class, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, growth is healthy, and so going to two classes makes sense. We have the numbers to support that, and it'll give more girls opportunities to compete and to continue, you know, growing the sport and making it stronger. So right now you look at one class, 10 weights, like, you only have 10 state champions, right? Now you have two classes, and you have that many more people, you know, being able to be there and showcase their talents. And it gives, you know, smaller schools like Eddyville a chance to be competitive with some of those larger, where they don't have to be as, you know, wrestling those giant schools with, you know, a lot bigger teams. So it's healthy, you know. There's a reason why other sports have different classes, and it's just amazing to see, you know, that wrestling has grown, women's wrestling has grown large enough to support two classes now. That's really, I think, pretty commendable on the state of Iowa.
The thing that I've noticed about girls' high school wrestling is the girls are very proud of what weight they are classed in. You know, it used to be a stigma where, I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, and now those girls that are in wrestling, well, I'm blah, 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 I'm 145 or whatever.
Yeah.
They are very proud of where they're at. Talk about that.
And, you know, they should be. So at their, you know, weight, there's other girls at that weight, and they're all competing for a state championship. And so they should be proud of that weight and their body, because wrestling is kind of cliche, but it is a sport for everybody. You see people missing legs who wrestle. You see people missing limbs. Like, everyone has a place on the wrestling mat. And the fact that for so long, you know, it was only men that got to receive the, I guess, benefits from that is silly. So now, you know, girls of every size, every height, every weight get to compete. You know, it's awesome. And I think it just helps to boost their confidence, and pretty amazing, really.
I'm talking with Megan Black Campion. She's my installment of Just Start Talking this week. And what a phenomenal career that you've had as a high school individual, college individual. And now you've got a tournament named after you that EBF, Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont Rockets, will have in your honor. But something that really surprised me in your life was the fact that you now are active in the military. I did not have that on my Megan Black bingo card, and here we are. Talk about that experience as you transitioned into the military?
You know, growing up, my parents were always, you know, super, super patriotic. We love our country. We love America and proud to be Americans. And so although through high school and college, I never, I guess, saw myself joining the military. I've always been a huge patriot. So it's not too, I don't think it's too big of a step for me to go from, you know, being proud to be an American to, you know, serving for my country. But the transition there kind of happened actually at the World Championships. So I was wrestling, competing for the U.S., and three of my teammates wrestled for the Army, and their coach was there. And we were all on the same team, you know, all competing for Team USA, but some of those girls were also, you know, representing the Army as well. And their coach asked me, he was like, hey, have you ever thought about, you know, serving in the military? Have you ever thought about being in the Army? And I kind of laughed and, you know, I was like, no, I never have. And he's like, well, you know, here, these girls, they get paid full time, like a regular, you know, Army salary to wrestle. And I guess outside of the WWE, I'd never heard of like getting paid full time to wrestle. And I was like, wow, I get to serve my country, to wear this uniform and get to wrestle full time. Like, why haven't I signed up for this yet? So shortly after that, I went out to Colorado. That's where the Olympic Training Center is, and also where the Army's world-class athletic program is at. And I enlisted with the Colorado Army National Guard, and I was put on active duty orders stationed at Fort Carson to wrestle there full-time. And so the neat part about that was the opportunity to wrestle at all the regular USA wrestling events, but also, you know, in the U.S. we're very competitive, and there's something out there called the Military World Championships, and, you know, if there's a World Championships, the U.S. automatically wants to win it, right? So we would get to compete at, like, the Military World Championships alongside the regular World Championships, so it really just gave me more opportunities to compete and travel the world. I think I got to go to 7 different countries, so that was kind of neat. I did that clear until 2021, and after the World Championships, my husband Zach and I decided to move back to Iowa and start a family. I needed a shoulder surgery, and, you know, years of wrestling does a number on your body, and it was just time to come back to Iowa. So I transferred to the Iowa National Guard, and shortly after that, I started recruiting for the National Guard. And now I get to go around and talk to high school and college students and kind of tell them my story of the Army and how, you know, it may benefit them.
I'm not sure if you had to go through basic training, did you?
I did, yes.
Okay, so talk about that. Was it a piece of cake, or was there any obstacles that you had difficulty with?
So basic training, physically, it was very easy. You know, being a wrestler, being a farmer, both of those together made basic training easy. Because I say that because, like, the wrestling side of things obviously got me ready for, like, the running and the push-ups and all that kind of thing. But the farming side of things made the climate there, you know, very manageable. A lot of people were not used to sleeping outside or being cold or wind or snow. But, you know, as well as anyone, like, when cows need fed, it doesn't matter what the weather's like. You got to do the job. And I think
no days off for agriculture.
Exactly. So I really think that the combo of wrestling and farming made basic training easy physically. That being said, I was 25 years old when I joined. So you're there with a bunch of 17, 18-year-old kids who maybe don't have the mindset that you do or the world experience. So being with, you know, some childish people was probably the most difficult thing. Of course, I love my family and I miss them, you know, as well. But just putting up, you know, with some of the immature people was probably the hardest part for me.
So what's coming up next, being in the Iowa National Guard? Is that 2 weeks a year, every other weekend type deal?
So for most people, yes, it's a regular, that's called an M-Day soldier. They have their 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer. For me, I work full-time with the Iowa Army National Guard. So I am a recruiter every day. I go into the office there in Ottumwa, and typically I have a school event, or I'm trying to take someone up to Des Moines to process. But yeah, that's my full-time job now. Besides being a mom, that's also my other full-time job. I'm also an assistant wrestling coach at William Penn University. So between the three of those, I stay pretty busy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I appreciate your time here, Megan. For our listeners, you can check this podcast out on www.kiicradio.com and select the audio vault up there at the top tab. And then on the right side, you can find this podcast and listen to it all over again if you'd like, or just a snippet. And that would be a free service that KIIC puts out.